Really?
Rotate your device.
You can't.
Oh, it's filming just you.
Yeah.
Jason, want to be superstars with you?
Oh, no, I mean from the screen, front screen, not the other screen, the back.
Yeah, well. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. All right, so I thought we'd jump in on clinical reasoning. So the art of working out what the heck is going on. So let's talk about at the beginning. So the patient walks in, you're consulting as GPs. What are you currently using to think through the overall picture of the consult? Like a model of what's going on?
What's been in the notes before?
You've been in the notes before?
Yeah, like what's happened at the last appointment or their past medical history or what they've got in that current.
Perfect. Okay, so having a look at what's happened in the before you get them in, even to review what you know about them already, what's happened in their consults previously. Cool. Okay, and then they walk in the room, and how are you guys thinking through this?
What do they look like?
What do they look like?
I'm saying, like, are you looking at them? Like, are they walking in like they look sick or they?
Okay.
You know what I mean, like that first. Stand back, have a look.
Yeah. You want someone?
An end of the pedogram.
Okay. Cool. All right. So, well, let's. Why don't we talk about what are the goals of our consults? What do you guys see as the goals of the consults?
Find out why they came.
Okay. Find out why they came. Yeah. Yeah.
What they wanted. What their expectations are.
What their expectations are. Cool. Yeah.
What's wrong with them?
What's wrong with them? There we go. Good. Okay. All right. Cool. That's definitely, to me, generally as an overview of what we're doing in general practice day in, day out, is generally working out what's wrong with them. And if you know what's wrong with them, then you can
fix it sometimes.
Perfect. Yeah. Management. So that's definitely, that's my take on it. I got asked this question, what do you do? What are you doing there, Tom? I was like, well, I don't know. And after a while, I was like, hang on. Okay, what are we, when they, essentially, not the vast majority of time, there's certainly exceptions, but essentially working out what's going on. So we've got a diagnosis or diagnoses, and then management. So diagnosis and management. So that, to me, is like the big goal of most consults. Is that fit with you guys? Yeah, it's like, this is not a huge surprise. Now, general practice though, we've got a few challenges. So they might have one diagnosis. It might be they come in and they've got just one problem, easy to work out. They might have maybe two problems going on at once. Sometimes this happens. You guys have seen patients like that? And they've actually got multiple problems. Then they've got chronic diseases that get worse. So it could still be coming under the single diagnosis. And then they've got other problems on top of their chronic disease stuff. And it's like, oh my goodness. So this can get quite complicated. Not dissimilar to our patient today. He's got a headache on top of poorly controlled diabetes and a random event of peripheral edema. And it's like, oh my goodness, what's going on? So it's useful, in my opinion, to have something that we can drop down on. But drop down to and simplify, and if I'm getting lost, I can come back to, okay, what am I trying to do here? I'm trying to work out what's going on and how to manage that. So it's a little simplistic for general practice, you know, like it's a bit more complicated than that. Management, so this kind of hints at, hey, what do they want? What do we want? So once we have at least a reasonable idea of what's going on, or we've got a working hypothesis, or we're like, oh, okay, this is a big mess. We still have to manage that. Okay, what are we going to do? So that's generally the second part of the consult, or if it's a difficult case, then a whole nother consult just on management once we've got those results back. So what's important for us as doctors? It may not match up to what's important for them as patients, so I want to think about both of those. And then I think also the last thing, what happens when they walk out the door? What happens then? Are we thinking about, we counsel them about that? Are they clear? So, it's Does that sound reasonable? Mm-hmm. Sound a reasonable definition of the problem about what's going on. Alright, so, look, after a while, this arose, the solution that I came up with arose out of trying to solve key feature problems. So you guys know about key problems? Yeah, they're generally either quite vague, and then they ask questions about what's going on to work out what's going on, or they're more specific and you have to ask the questions to get down to diagnosis. So this was developed in response to that, but it comes from our work. It really does come from our work as GPs. All right, so dynamic assessment. So the model's called dynamic assessment structured management. It's got two parts, dynamic assessment, structured management. Okay, so dynamic assessment's largely the focus of the model to a degree. So we're going back to patient walks in the room. How am I thinking about it? So this is how I'm generally thinking. So they come in with their presenting complaint. Usually they've come for a reason. Sometimes not. Yeah, and sometimes they just come. In where we work, sometimes they don't know, but often they do. It's totally cool. So we've got a presenting complaint. They're like, yep, I've got a problem. And then we've got their demographics, how old they are, socioeconomic, that kind of stuff. And then, of course, their past medical history or what's been going on beforehand. So that's all kind of before they walk in the door. We do have access to that information. And I find that when I do spend 30 seconds a minute reviewing it, it does lead to better consults. It's less of the patient going, yeah, I'm back here for the results. Mm-hmm. Did you, it avoids that little awkward moment. Oh, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. All right, now, as they come in and they're going to start talking, telling a story, what's going on, and generally at that point, I'm just kind of sitting back and listening. But I'm thinking about what's going on. I'm thinking about from their story about presenting complaint, their demographics, their past medical. As they tell a story, I'm thinking about what's going on. Now, this is remote. You probably recognize this. Probable, possible, don't miss. New, old, new. Anyway, so that's building a list here of what could be going on. What's probably going on, what possibly could be going on, and what don't miss is going on. So I then kind of move into the more classical experience of from telling a coroner whatever, taking history, doing examination, and any tests that we can do in the office. But it's not just it's not without a structure. The structure that I'm using in my history and my examination, my in-office test, is actually to refine that differential, okay? So it's almost like if I had out of the, let's say, 500 diseases that could be going on, I've drawn maybe 3 to 7 or 8 cards, and I'm now working through those, and I'm rating them as I'm asking the questions. So if I'm not really sure what's going on, at the beginning, I'm using relatively open questions, hey, what's going on, and then that will adjust the cards, or that's more likely, that's less likely. Or if it's more specific presentation, then I can just start dropping into more closed questions just to confirm, yep, that's what's going on. And also thinking about my don't misses. So just making sure that if it's a headache, how did it come on? What was the onset? Oh, it came on really suddenly. Oh, where did it come on? Oh, it came on at the Oxford. Okay, that's going to be changing my thoughts, even if they said whatever else had been leading up. Okay, subarachnoid needs to be in there higher. So it's kind of a rating, dynamically rating what's going on. I might throw some cards out. Nah, don't think that's going on. That's highly unlikely. I might even have to bring one in or two in on examination if I go through and find something that's new and go, oh, actually, goodness, we need to be thinking about heart failure, or we need to be thinking about diabetes here. Hadn't previously thought about those from this bit so far, but as I go through and I find some signs on examination, bring them back in. So it's kind of dynamically working through it. As opposed to like in the hospital or for specialists where they may have an hour to go through and they're doing a very systematic approach, because we've only got 15 minutes for the whole consult and we've still got management, so we might be doing diagnosis in 7 or 8 minutes. That's the challenge that we've got, otherwise we end up being really slow. But this is essentially how I'm thinking. And then we do have the option of in-office tests, so things like ECGs, BSLs, spirometry. What else we got?
Urinalysis,
pregnancy tests, ADIs, all of those would still be in the realm of this model here. Okay, so once we've done that and we're coming down, now either I know what's going on, I'm like, great, I got the diagnosis,
yay,
or I don't know what's going on. So I still might have 2, 3, maybe 4 or 5. I think my worst one, I use it in cases where it's not really clear. I just start typing the diagnoses into the scratch box, and that allows me to work through them systematically. And then, but even then, sometimes I get to this point, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. So where do we go next? Any thoughts? Let's say you do know what's going on.
Management plan.
Management plan, okay.
Or you tell the patient.
Tell the patient, yeah. Or we could order, if we know what's going on, we do have a choice to order investigations still, like formal investigations, radiology, pathology, sleep studies, all that sort of stuff. There is a decision, even if I know what's going on, there may be a case to order investigations. And I would do that if it might change future treatment substantially. It's like, oh, well, if they're still not better in a week, it'd be really great to know that that culture came back with Haemophilus or whatever. So it's going to change my future treatment. Or there's an important don't miss that I want to rule out. So I think they've got, I know, let's go with the headache. I think they've got a tension headache, but for some reason it's like, oh, I want to make sure there's not a space occupying lesion, even though it's only a 1% chance. And that's weighing these things up. It's if I'm confident I don't need to rule out a don't miss, then I don't order stuff. We move down to management. Either way, we end up with management. Okay, so we know what's going on. Either we do investigations, yes, okay, we come to management, or we don't. What about the other case? When we're not sure about what's going on, what can we use?
Do some investigations.
Do some investigations, yeah. Slightly different though. Okay, first of all, we're not just with our sort of presenting complaint to a whole list of 8 differentials. We've done the history, done the exam, we've done our in-office tests. We're actually working over a fine differential here. It might be 2 or 3. But we still then go to our investigations to work out between that refined differential and come out to pathology, radiology, other things that we can do. And then presumably this is a separate consult. They're coming back, we've got all of that pre-existing knowledge of our work, plus the results of the tests, and then we have a diagnosis, or we don't. This is why actually it's really helpful to get your patients to come back and see you rather than somebody else. You guys seen any cases where you picked up a case at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what's it like?
It's annoying.
Yeah. even with good notes, there's still not that, for me, there's still not that memory of the patient. What was I thinking? I haven't gone through this whole process. And so it's almost like to a degree, I've got to go through and run the whole process now in a reduced amount of time. It's okay, but it's way better. I normally, anyone like this where I'm seeing at this point, like, I want to see you in a week's time. Or let's say I'm away on holidays, I want to speak to another doctor and say, hey, Donna, this is what's going on. This is what I was thinking. This is why I did these tests. This is what I'm expecting. Anyway, so either we come here and we've got a diagnosis. Yes, great, we can go and manage it. If we don't, we've got a choice. And so to me, the main ones would be, hey, this is a clear indication for a specialist referral here. What do you make of this? I can go through his presenting complaint. Here's what I was thinking about. Here's the history that they gave me, the examination. Here's the results of the test. What do you think? I'm thinking about this diagnosis, this diagnosis, this diagnosis. I would appreciate your opinion about, hey, what do you think's going on? The other option we occasionally come across is a therapeutic trial. So you might have an option, say for, let's say there's a patient with a cough that's been investigated, we can't find a cause, and you're like, you know what, could this be silent reflux, and I'm going to trial a PPI to see if it works, and then if that failed, then I'd go to the specialist referral. But there may be a role, I occasionally it shows up in work, and it's like, okay, look, I'm not 100% sure, why don't we try the treatment and see if it works? It is something in the arsenal of our options to use for the patient. Alright, cool. So, come through. Management. So management, this is more like a checklist, like a menu to go through and select. That's how I see it. Like, it's like a structure of six big options that I consider when I'm going through. I'm like, hey, okay, what does this patient need? The big six to choose from. What does the patient need? What's the doctor and me? What am I going to do? Is there anyone else that needs to be involved? Is there preventative care that needs to be taken care of? And then the last two is kind of like, what's going to happen when they walk out of the door? What's the expected course of this? And then what's the safety net for them? So that's kind of my menu of choices to go through and think about, okay, what are we going to do for this, for managing this patient? All right, so a little bit more detail. As you can see, patient, do they need to know about this disease? Clearly important in some diseases. Do they need to take some actions? Do they need to make changes? So change management. So these are all things that they could do, and you guys need to educate them about these options. Doctor stuff is generally going to be either medications or stuff we can do, practical skills. So thinking about, hey, are there any contraindications to the management? Are there any interactions I need to be aware of? Are there any side effects? So this typically, the interactions would typically be with chronic disease. At least thinking about those and major side effects. Do I need to warn them about a likely side effect? So if it happens, they're like, oh, I'm not surprised by that. Other providers, look, this could be anywhere from specialists in management. So we're actually looking for their opinion, not on the diagnosis, but hey, I think this is what's going on. Can you please give expert advice around management? Through to other services that we've got. So allied health, nursing, community, a bunch of other stuff that we have access to as GPs. Preventative care, is there a space for vaccinations that need to be dealt with? Is there screening opportunities? Just a thought to come through and review that at that point. Say, okay, maybe it's not dealt with in that one consult, but it's like, hey, we need to get you back and talk about this preventative care opportunity. Expected course, so what am I thinking is going to happen? I'm expecting you to get better in 3 days. I'm expecting this to be a 1 year. I'm expecting this to be not resolvable. So that they've got some expectation about when to come back. And then our safety net. So if this happens, so it might be some safety nets will be, hey, if this happens, you get a lot worse. I want you to go to the hospital. If this doesn't happen, is another option for a safety net. If this treatment isn't working, then I want to see you again in 2 days. So that's my kind of menu. Like, it's not something that I would do every time for every patient, but rather I'm selecting from those options about what's most appropriate depending on what's going on. Clearly, if we're trying to manage stopping smoking, it's going to be patient as well as doctor. We may even get a little bit of expected course long-term complications of smoking in there. All right, so that is, just if you're struggling with differentials, then Vindicate. Okay, you presume if no Vindicate. So these are reminders, in, particularly in case of exam stress, and it's like, oh my goodness, I can't think of the sixth thing or the seventh thing that they're asking about a presentation. What can I drop back to as a mnemonic to remind myself? So vascular, inflammatory, neoplastic, degenerative deficiency, idiopathic, intoxication, congenital, autoimmune, allergic, traumatic, and endocrine. I tend not to use it that much. I think in exam pressure, if people have a blank mind, it's useful. And in difficult cases as well, it's useful just to go, hey, is there something that I haven't thought of in the differential? Alright, cool. So that's the presentation. That's clinical reasoning. Questions, thoughts? What are you hearing from that? Or taking from that? Kath, you want to go first?
Structuring it a little bit, sort of structuring what you do a bit more is kind of, you know what I mean? Like thinking about what you're doing rather than, I don't know, you know, like having a bit of a, particularly with the, you know, getting your differentials and then whittling them down, and the process that you go through whittling things down is a process, but
yep.
It's more about actually identifying what that process is.
Yeah, this is like a high level overview of what's going on. It's not the detail of how to actually diagnose hypertension or whatever it is. It's more like, hey, what's the model that we've got for what's going on in these consults?
Mm.
I find it's helpful in cases where I'm stuck and lost. I'll come back to this. And it's also helping in teaching as well. It's like, okay, well, what was going on? What were you thinking about as we went through this case? Darren, what'd you take?
I like that approach to management plan.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get that it's a selection of, rather than, like, sometimes it's going to be, like, if they're coming in with anaphylaxis, we're not doing much patient education. It's like, let's get the drugs into them, obviously, but in other cases, so it's a selection. But it's a nice, I feel like it means that when I'm confident that as they leave the room there, that I've covered all the places in management.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Carly, what do you take from it?
Pretty much the same. The structure is good and make sure you don't miss anything.
Yeah.
In the process.
Yeah. And how about from you, like you're a little bit further back in med school. So how does it compare to other models of clinical reasoning that you've seen?
They kind of threw more talk at us as well, so familiar with like the red flags and the...
Red flags, the probable, possible, yeah. Yeah, the Motar is extremely useful. My challenge for it is the memorization of all of the questions that you're meant to ask for each presentation or each presenting complaint. Here's 15 to 20 different questions to ask. I find that by actually thinking about what I'm trying to do, which is diagnose, it gives me a better structure to actually pull out which questions. And as I said, like early on, I'm using open questions, and then later on, I move down into more closed questions to confirm the diagnosis. So if I think it's pneumonia, then I want to, have you coughed up blood? Hey, is there chest pain? Have you had fevers? Versus going back before that would be like, okay, when did the cough start? How long? More general questions. And the answers to those open questions will often refine the differential substantially. So, as opposed to having to memorize long lists, it's actually got stuff there. So, alright, we are done, I think.
Cool, so, thank you.
Yeah, no worries, my pleasure. Okay. Hi guys, thanks for watching. See you soon.